Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Delayed. There it is.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, kind of delayed. And Survivor Ghost Island has completed the pre-merge phase of the game, in which probably see the greatest pre-merge of all time. And I'm not, I don't think I'm using hyperbole on that one. And I
Morgan finally has an Navidi friend with her.
Is it her friend? I mean, we don't know. We never saw Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like apparently they were super close, but to our knowledge, it was just another Navidi. So, you know, to at least knowledge. Morgan's not like being surrounded by all the Malolo like BFFs. And she's like, hey guys, like I'm a good swimmer. Like at least now Bradley's there.
Oh man, what a day. All right, so Bradley was the villain here, okay? Like Bradley was the villain of this season. He's the reason why Brendan, Stephanie Johnson are on the jury, which were two of the big fan favorites. But man, I could be wrong, I've been wrong on everything this season, but I'm trying to figure out the right way to say this. This was the wrong move. It has nothing to do with the fact that I actually got to meet Bradley. Bradley's like a pretty nice guy. I'm sure he's a pain in the ass to live with. I think everybody's a pain in the ass to live with, though, 39 days, 24 hours a day. So I have to say, this just felt like the wrong move at the wrong time. And I feel cheated that we don't get to see Bradley at the merge, because I feel like Bradley would have been a great merge character. And I was hoping we would have gotten our villain into that part, because honestly, I'm not looking at Chris or Dominic as a villain right now. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. So I don't really have anybody to hate come merge time. And I don't really have anybody to love, although tonight Wendell and Kellen definitely jumped up to the top of the "this is who you should love" category. And even Donathan a little bit more. But I don't have anybody now to enjoy watching take down people knowing that their demise is coming, because Bradley is gone. And it's kind of a shame. And I will say that out of the seven people who are voted out pre-merge on this season, all seven of them could come back, and Survivor would be absolutely justified in bringing any of them back. I really believe that this is the best pre-merge we've ever had on a season. This season reminds me of Marquesas, where it went backwards because of the character who just missed the merge, which was Boston Rob and Bradley. And it went backwards. The wrong, like, people that you didn't expect to go home pre-merge, Hunter, Gina, go home because there was a guy who was like, "I'm going to run this game this way." And then they end up going home before they even get to play the best part of the game.
That's actually pretty funny, because you mentioned Boston Rob, and Bradley was trying to play a Boston Rob-esque game. So I guess he did like Boston Rob 1.0. I guess he did that part pretty well. But yeah, I mean, this pre-merge, how many boot lists had this group of seven as their top seven? I mean, we could not have been more wrong about this pre-merge. So many fan favorites and so many big time characters are now gallivanting around Vietnam or Australia, probably having the time of their lives right now. So yeah, they're probably having a grand old time, however, 6 to 9 months ago. But yeah, I mean, this move, I'm now that I've sat on it for a little bit, I said this to Phil. I also, everyone should know, like, this was a heavily spoiled boot, because CBS posted a photo of, I didn't see it, but like CBS posted a photo of Bradley getting his torch sniff, which is absolutely absurd. But I didn't know that Bradley was going home. So I'm kind of sitting there, I'm like, oh, it's going to be Libby. Like, this is not a very exciting boot. And then it was Bradley. And the music kind of conveyed exactly how I felt. The music was just kind of like, bleh. And I was like, okay, like, Bradley, especially in this episode, like, he's been played up to be this extremely obnoxious dick by his own words. And now he's gone. Like, it was just, I was waiting for like this explosive downfall. And he was a character that I guess was meant to get blindsided. And he said in his final words, like, "I'm happy, like, I guess I'm glad that I got blindsided. Like, that's the way that I would have wanted to go out." But it was just so like matter of fact that I felt like so underwhelmed by it. And now that we're kind of talking it out, it's going to be a tough move to justify, because Libby, again, is now Parvati 3.0. She is like super evil Parvati, and Dominic still voted with her. And so there clearly is some kind of relationship that has rolled over from that Navidi Beach with Donathan, Dominic, and Libby. And he, like you mentioned earlier, Phil, Bradley had connections to the other side. Bradley was Navidi strong, and that's someone you want, like a very, very loyal to his tribe colors player who probably isn't going to win. Like, that's the person that you want to keep around in your alliance. So I thought that was a really odd move on Dom and Chelsea's part, but I think it just boils down to they must have been so bad that they were willing to forego that to get rid of him.
I mean, it has to just be that. I mean, what I don't understand about this is Bradley's never going to win the game. I know in his last words, he said he thought he could win, but I don't think Bradley actually thought
he could win. I think that was just the whole,
that was the emotion of, that was the emotion of, I got voted out of the game without knowing it was coming. I don't think Bradley actually thought he could win. And what makes the least sense about this now, it's a good thing for Dominic that he has the legacy advantage. He's going to play it next week. Like, it just seems like he has to, just with how things are going to shape up. But he has this legacy advantage. There's 13 people left in the game. Kellen and Desiree are clearly, clearly, clearly aligned with Bradley. They voted out Stephanie Johnson. They voted out Brendan with him. And then they go and they vote out James. They were clearly Navidi strong. Angela was betrayed by Dominic. So those three who are on that other tribe, Amalolo, right now, those three Nvidia are not going to side with Dominic now because they're going to know that he had some sort of say. They're not going to think it was Chelsea who was the one who was like, oh, I'm the reason that Bradley went home. No, they're going to know Dominic had a huge hand in that. So you have those three Amalolo who aren't going to vote with Dom. Chris isn't going to vote with Dom. Mm-hmm. So we're already down to four. And then Libby and Donathan have already betrayed him. In this game, they've already voted against him to vote out one of his closest allies. That's six people right there that I've just named. There's only 13 left. So that puts Dom as like the swing vote in his own vote. And that's assuming that where does that put Michael? I think Wendell probably goes back. But where does that put Jenna? Where does that put Sebastian, who voted with Bradley every single time? Like I just don't get why this was the move that Dominic made. You're getting rid of somebody you can beat at the end, who's going to rub people the wrong way, who could be looked at as somebody that you can vote out at another time when he's annoying people. Why would you keep around Libby, who you're so worried about, who's already gotten you once? Like, now if she gets you again, you deserve it.
Yeah, I don't. That's a good point, because now we're going into this merge, and they're like, the entire preview is like, these two Titans are finally going at it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, who was it? It was Zeke and David. That was like the big millennials versus Gen X. Like, oh, let's get our ducks in a row and just vote each other out. Like, who's actually going to be on Dominic's side? That part is like kind of to be determined, because those Malolos, they probably have to stick together at this point. Even though Michael kind of really hasn't played with Donathan, Libby, or Laurel. He hasn't played with them since like days one through three. So maybe he has more of a tie to Kellen, and those three are staying on the Dominic side, assuming that Dominic and Kellen don't team up. I'm not really sure, but I think just because he has that legacy advantage, that could have something to do with his decision. But it must have just been so bad. And for whatever reason, he must have thought, if I get rid of him, I have earned some loyalty from Donathan and from Libby. And Donathan and Libby, they seemed very confident tonight. They clearly knew that they were not going home. There was no scrambling. It was all just very calm responses. Jeff was kind of pushing most of the conversation towards Bradley. So Dominic must have found something that made him very, very confident in doing this, knowing that he was going to be burning a good sum of Navidis in the process, while he's already kind of burned the Chris bridge.
I mean, maybe it's just a misread of how tight other people were with Bradley, because he didn't get to see it. You know, he didn't really get to see it. He doesn't get to see how tight Kellen was, Desiree, Sebastian. Even Chelsea now is turning on Bradley, and Chelsea just voted with Bradley all the time. Mm-hmm. But this seems like Chelsea woke up when she got to this beach. It seems like all of a sudden Chelsea's decided, oh, I'm going to play the game of Survivor now. Like, I'm here. Like, I'm talking. Also, we can talk about this later, but were the confessionals, were they all sitting right next to camp? Because why were Libby and Chelsea whispering? But anyway, literally whispering at the camera. It was very bizarre. But Chelsea, like, finally wakes up. I don't like the way Bradley's talking to people, blah, blah, blah. That's fine. That's a good reason. But, like, I think Chelsea made an okay move for herself, because I think she could work with Donathan and Libby. She didn't get burned by Donathan and Libby. She was on the other tribe. And I think that Dominic is going to get all the heat for this from the original Navidis, who are like, what do you mean Bradley's gone? That's ridiculous. Like, mm-hmm. So I think that Dominic takes the blame, and this actually isn't a bad move for Chelsea. And Chelsea gets to say, well, I did it with my heart. I wasn't that close with Bradley anyway, and you don't understand how bad he was. What is Dom's excuse, though, and who is he proving his loyalty to? Now the two tribal councils Dom has gone to, two Navidis have gone home.
I think you brought up a good point, like with the first thing that you said. He probably also didn't realize, because he just never played with that group of Navidis, just how Navidi strong they were. Because he doesn't know who's a fan favorite. Like, he's not seeing it as like, oh my God, Brenton, Stephanie, and James, they're just so mm-hmm. well loved by all the fans. He's just seeing, okay, Malola, 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 great, everything is status quo. I don't think he knows, or he knew, understandably, that it was just an absolute stonewall with Dez, Kellen, Bradley, and a little bit of Chelsea. And like you said, I think Chelsea finally grew her wings, and she was probably just rolling with that when she was on the Malola beach, because that was just what everybody else was doing. And why would you rock the boat so early on? Here, maybe she wasn't that tight with Bradley. Maybe she was a lot more tight with Dom. It could just be a personal thing. she sees herself working with him more. And it could have been her decision. They're making this out to be like this big Dom decision, but she and Libby seem to have a pretty tight connection. That could be just, you know, your group of five is two girls, but we see them conferring a lot. We don't see Dom and Libby talking. We don't really see Dom and Donathan talking. We see the group talking, and then we see Chelsea talking to Libby. So Chelsea, I feel like, isn't going to get much credit for this, but I feel like she was really the liaison between the original Malolos and her and Dom in getting rid of Bradley.
Yeah, I just think, like, I think Chelsea really is playing better now, and I don't even think that she's necessarily aligned with Dom. I really do think it's more that she just sees herself with Libby. I think her and Libby probably got along a little bit just because they're around the same age. Maybe they've been, like, waiting for that type of connection that they really just haven't had yet. Didn't seem like Chelsea was really able to get out from under the thumb of Navidi to make a relationship with Jenna or a relationship with Michael. So here she has her chance. I just think, like, I don't know. I just look at this, and in every way I spin it, I'm like, this just doesn't seem like the right move. I mean, you get rid of Libby here. You have the numbers on Navidi if you're Dominic. You can still get rid of Bradley. Bradley's still going to be loyal to you because he's clearly just doing the Navidi strong thing. You can get rid of Chris whenever you want to. Now I think it's actually going to be hard for Dominic to get rid of Chris. I mean, like I said, it's a very good thing that he has this idol because – He actually has two idols, so he's good for a little bit. He can play his legacy advantage, and if he feels like he's under heat the next time, he can play that. So Dom will hang around for a little bit longer, but he's very, very lucky that he has that legacy advantage that has to be played at 13 or 6 because it's kind of taking the decision out of it for him. Because when I look at, like, who's left in this game, I really have a hard time finding people that are definitely in Dom's corner. Like, Chris might be rubbing people the wrong way, but are people going to vote out Chris because they like Dom, or are they going to vote out Chris because they don't want to work with Chris, and then they're going to end up voting out Dom just the next time we see a Josh Jeremy thing like we did back in San Juan del Sur?
I think I don't think this was a horrible move for Dom because, like you just said, Dom has something that says you must play this at 13 or 6. You have to play it at 13. It's a merge boot. You just voted out an ally. There's a lot of heat on you, especially with, like, your mortal enemy coming back onto the island. He has to play that. He has an idol. He doesn't have any enemies other than Chris, who nobody likes. Wendell's going to come back to him. Wendell has a huge honkin' immunity necklace / idol thing.
We need to talk about that.
I don't know where he's going to hide that thing. But the thing is, yes, Dom, like, other than Wendell, Dom doesn't really have, like, a number one, like, it girl, but he doesn't have any mortal enemies. Like, I think Kellen and Dez, if he feels like they're going against him, he could probably spin it into just he was awful, he was clapping at people, he's being such a pain in the ass. He could spin that. I think they would, not understand that, but he could probably find a way to sell that as just, I needed to get rid of him. There's still enough of us. Let's all get rid of Chris. I really think he's in an okay position because Chris is just in a worse off social position than he is. People like Dom. Dom got blindsided at the Morgan boot and then bounced back. He'll be able to bounce back from this just fine.
Yeah, and I really still have a hard time believing that everybody just dislikes Chris, like, because he's Chris. At this point, as I'm watching this, they're actually, like, winning challenges. He's been positive in, like, everything we've seen, which is almost, like, mind-blowing considering what we saw right at the beginning. But he has been positive in, like, everything, and now here he is sitting at the merge, going up against – like, if you're Kellen, do you say – it's the same mistake Dom could have made tonight. Do you say, let's get rid of Chris, who I think I could beat at the end, and keep around Dom? Or do you just get rid of Dom, who just backstabbed you and you should be a little bit wary of? And I know that Dom didn't necessarily backstab Kellen, but it feels like he backstabbed Kellen.
But do you think Kellen's going to see it that way? I don't think she's going to.
I don't know, though.
I really don't think, because Kellen and Dom haven't played since day three, and they've never even been in tribal council together.
No, that's true, but I still think that there's a good chance. I still think that there's a good chance Kellen was so tight with Bradley. Desiree was so tight with Bradley that this could end up coming back just as, like, a what the hell just happened, because it's going to make you wary no matter what. Even if you sit there and say,
yeah, of course,
okay, maybe he was pushing people the wrong way, whatever, blah, blah, blah. maybe that's why Dom did it, but you're still going to be wary of, like, can I trust this guy? How close is he with Libby? Is Libby still close with Michael? I know they haven't played together in a while, but could they be close? Can Michael pull in Sebastian and Jenna, who are really close? I mean, I would actually like to see the people who are the most similar get along and play this game for the rest of the time. And I don't mean, like, get along in terms of, like, be buddies. I just mean, like, get along in terms of you have Sebastian, you have Jenna, you have Michael, you have Wendell, like that kind of group that seems like they're like the chill. We're hanging out. Yeah, we really want to win Survivor, but we're having a good time doing it. Like, I would like to see that group like kind of come through and kind of wipe out like the Dominics and the and I don't even know who else is playing like a really hard game. I mean, I guess Kellen, but Kellen kind of could be lumped into that too. It's a weird dynamic that's left right now with the 13, because we know so much about Dominic versus Chris. We know so much about that. But we also know that Donathan and Chris had that moment together. And that opened up Donathan's eyes to Chris. Well, guess what? Donathan just worked with Chris's biggest enemy. Now they get back on the beach together. Donathan's moment with Chris is more of a moment than anything he did with Dominic. So what if he actually goes back and then Libby goes over there with Donathan because they voted out two Navidis together? You got a real struggle here for Dominic.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, just for that vote, he's fine. If he goes home next week, I will be flabbergasted. So that's what I'm saying. He's going to hopefully, allegedly survive this merge boot. And the merge boot's always a hot mess. And then after that is when things finally start to fall a little bit. And so if he survives that, things are still going to be shifting. The merge boot is always just like, how many people can I get in my corner in this exact moment so that I can be in the majority for the rest of the game? But after that happens, especially recently, there are still shifts floating around, which is why I think, and Dom, I mean, he's got this idol that like, freaking half the cast knows about now. So he can use that as leverage too. I think in terms of relationships, I get where you're coming from. I think Kellen and Des will feel burned. I don't think they're going to feel like aggressively betrayed only because they just have not really played with Dominic before. Mm-hmm. So strategically or just from like an idol perspective, he's fine. He just has to capitalize on those next days after he apparently possibly survives this merge. He has to really do a lot of damage control there. But I think for right now, he's kind of fine, which is making me feel like this isn't the worst move for him after all.
Yeah. Let me see here. I think that what actually works in the viewer's favor right now is that Bradley, and I think Bradley is great TV, but what works in a viewer's favor is Bradley going home here makes it so that the post-merge isn't going to be like a pogonging. It's not going to happen now.
Yeah.
If Bradley's still in the game, there's a good chance that could happen because he was so gung-ho of Navidi, 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 Navidi. He wanted it to be 9-4. He wanted it to be 9-0. And Dom and Chris probably would have fought it out and not let that happen. But I think with Bradley gone, you lose that person who's constantly saying that, who's constantly rubbing that in, saying, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this, which makes it a lot more of a cluster once you actually hit this point. And I think that'll be fun going into next week when things start to shape up. To talk about something else from the episode or other things from the episode.
Yeah, let's say we're 25 minutes in. Let's
share. We have a lot to cover, obviously a lot to cover. I mean, this was a big boot though. I mean, this is a big boot. But to cover some other things real quick, that challenge, the reward challenge, loved it in Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers when it was an immunity. Did not like it as a reward. It felt super boring as a reward. I didn't like it with three tries. I didn't like it with the three tribes for reward because it just kind of felt like there was no stakes and it's a really long challenge. It's really long.
It's a hefty one.
Yeah. Like I forget in Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers, I think there were two. Maybe there were three. Maybe
I'm wrong. I think there were three, but it was an immunity challenge.
It was an immunity. So you feel like it's for something. In this, it's a reward and it takes a long time and it's like, okay, well, all that's going to happen is the team that loses just isn't going to get steaks or isn't going to get chicken. And it didn't have as much of an effect on me watching it this time. And plus it was funny, like knowing that they didn't actually get to see season 35. So they didn't see how easy the challenge really could be. And it took them all falling down a couple times before they realized, oh, the person going just doesn't need any tension on that rope at all. They can just run through it. So, you know, it was good to see.
I like that challenge because I like ones that with an even playing field. So even when someone has like reward and they're putting that little goes down thing and it all just collapses, I like ones that kind of leave an even playing field. And I'm trying to think of what the immunity challenge was, the one in the water where you had to like climb up the thing. And
I like the immunity challenge, but this immunity challenge should have been the reward because it's more visual. It's more fun to watch. It doesn't matter if there's drama because whoever wins it, you're just like, oh, good. They're not, you know, they get the food or whatever, and they put in like a lot of effort to it. The second one felt more like an immunity because you have all this drama built around, is the stack going to fall? Is the stack going to fall? But it's, is the stack going to fall? Cause they might not get a pepper. Steak. Like, oh no. Oh God. Like there's no stakes. There's no stakes there. There really isn't though. Cause like you're watching it and it's like, okay, so if Malolo loses again, they just don't get to eat. But if Malolo loses that in its immunity, it's like, oh my God, they're going to tribal council again. Whereas the other challenge, you could watch that anytime. It doesn't matter how much of a blowout it is. It's visual. It's something fun to watch. Keep it as the immunity or keep it as the reward, because even if it's a blowout, you're like, damn, that was a fun challenge. Good. They got to run around, jump around, whatever. Doesn't matter that there wasn't a lot of drama at the end. This other one, there needs to be real, real drama.
I don't know. I just liked watching the massive juxtaposition between how good some people are at diving and how god awful some people are at diving. Oh, there was a large discrepancy between the Michaels and the Sebastians and the Chris's of the world and the Kellens and the Dominics. That was, I could have watched 15 minutes of that. It was, I mean, so
here's what I get. It's like Chris was majestic, you know, like that shot underwater, like it was so beautiful. And Michael, superb. Bradley jumped in feet first, but it's like knowing your limits. Like, I'm not going to make this dive look pretty, so I'm just going to jump. But Dom jumping off that freaking thing sideways and just like landing on his side, and it's like clunk. Like that is helping nobody in any way. All it's doing is hurting him. Like, just jumping feet first at that point. My God. But you could tell he was absolutely smoked. He had nothing left. He was destroyed by the time they had to come back.
Yeah, he looked absolutely dead. Well, according to Bradley, he was drinking too much coffee, which might have been the nail in the coffin.
Let's be honest. That you probably drank too much coffee was probably dropped at such a different time. They didn't show Bradley. Totally. Oh, my God. That was probably dropped like on Tuesday, and this challenge took place on Sunday. Like that was – I started laughing at that one.
It was very like awkwardly cut.
It was very awkward, and I thought it was funny. That's when I started laughing. I'm like, man, they were really playing up Bradley as a dick, because like he clearly did not say that in this situation. And like even like when Bradley said, I don't really think we fight much at camp, there is no way that that's when Libby turned and just stared at him like there's no way that's what that was actually from. Because if that's what that's actually from and Bradley still got blindsided tonight, then man, Bradley, like what were you thinking? You had to have known that they were gunning for you, because – she's literally staring at you as you're saying, like staring at you, like, are you an idiot? As she's saying that there was as you're saying that there's no tension or no fighting. So this was so overly done, but they had to do it because he was the villain of the pre-merge. So they had to do it. You didn't have a choice.
See, to me, the only thing that like, cause I'm trying to put myself on the island there. Like I certainly would have gotten annoyed. I think what would have made me just blindly want to vote him out is the clapping. If someone clapped at me like that, I would have kicked him in the nuts.
Yeah, well, you know what though, and I kind of wish that Donathan would have just kicked him in the nuts, and they would have moved on because
that would have made things a lot easier. We would have saved a lot of good camera time.
A lot of good camera time. I mean, the thing is with that too, just from the perspective of, I don't think Bradley told them what he was trying to do. He only told us what he was trying to do. And him saying, "I want to eat the food. Come on, let's cook it." I get that, because I'm the guy who, when I go to when I go to Burger King, I'm the guy who's eating every single fry. And if I get chicken fries, I've eaten all the chicken fries before I actually get back to my apartment, because I'm like hungry. Like I went to get food because I'm hungry. And this isn't justifying him clapping at Donathan, but why didn't he actually tell them, like, guys, we need to make this fire now so we can eat? It just kind of seemed like he was like pissed off that they weren't making a fire is like what it seemed like. And maybe he did say it a different way, but it seemed like he was just like, make the fire, make the fire, make the fire. You guys can't celebrate the win. It seemed like he almost wanted to celebrate the win while they were eating.
Which is fine, but he absolutely should have communicated that. And yes, he's hangry, but to Brett's point, who we had on earlier this week, you just don't talk to people like that on Survivor. And you just don't complain like that. Like that, to me, after the clapping, I was like, this is just like insane. Like how I And I think that's ridiculous. Like, well, I get mean, that.
clearly, him and Donathan aren't buddy-buddy. I mean, yeah, let's
there's
be honest.
Not much of a relationship there.
I don't think he's clapping at Dominic. I don't think he's clapping at Libby. I don't think that he's clapping at Chelsea. I really don't think him and Donathan got along very well on that island. Whatever it might have been, I don't know. But it seems to me like watching that scene,
that
it
was just
seemed
festering.
It seemed almost personal. Do you know what I mean? It was almost like,
oh, 100%. Because he was talking to Donathan in the challenge when Donathan wasn't doing what Bradley said he was doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So there was definitely something between the two of them a little more.
And that was the thing too. He's like, I'm getting yelled. I'm so confident. I'm proud of myself. And I'm getting yelled at by Bradley. And it's like, it didn't really, I mean, what Bradley was saying at the challenge was not harmful in any way. Like, he was actually telling him what to do and telling him, don't put slack when Donathan is still putting slack, saying, I'm not. And it's like, you're looking at him pull on the rope. It's like, you are. So like what Bradley was saying there, I think that was just two people butting heads who don't like each other. And no matter what they say, they're going to infuriate each other, and the clapping just takes it to another level where it's like, oh
yeah, the clapping was a little much for me.
Oh my God. So funny. Okay.
Let's go to a different beach.
Yeah. Well, let's go to a different beach. Let's talk about the idols. There were three idols that were found tonight. So let's talk about all these idols, and then this hits on all the other beaches because the idols were found at the other beaches, including Ghost Island. Kellen finds the idol at, finally plays her game at Ghost Island. I want to talk about the other ones later because they bring a tear to my eye because that was the golden age of Survivor. But let's talk about Kellen at Ghost Island. She gets the steal a vote that
has
was
matured.
Used to
vote.
Okay, we need to talk about that too. What the
we
hell is
we need to talk about these fine wines and fine cheeses that are coming out of the Malolo Beach and actually, I don't think it happened at Ghost Island, but I don't care. This is a fine wine
the other
being
two.
Aged and matured. Yeah, it was the other two. It was Wendell's and Wendell's and Michael's. But oh my God, like, please no. Please God, no.
Oh my God, I almost felt like
give me the effing stick. Give me Eric all day long, but do not tell me that this stick has been maturing on Ghost Island for 10 years. You have got to be kidding me. That is obscene. That is insulting. Insulting.
It was so corny. I actually was like, oh man, this is like what people think Survivor is when they say, oh, that show's still on. You're the weirdo who does a podcast on Survivor.
Yeah, this
for
is
like
what it is.
Hours a week. Oh my God, it matured. It was led with nobody knows. Like, yeah, nobody knows it because it's bullshit.
I'm like, in pain just like hearing you talk about this.
It makes me so uncomfortable. Like it's so cool. It's like Dungeons and Dragons is being played on the island of Survivor now. Like, ooh, walk into your lair. And it's like, no, this hasn't been maturing. This stick is sitting in the prop department, either in CBS or still in Fiji. It has not been, it's probably been in Jeff Pro's house. Like, no, it has not been maturing on Ghost Island.
Eric's immunity idol, if you looked at those shells, you could see a reflection off them. They were so clean, and that was apparently buried under something. I was watching that, and my roommate came and sat on the couch, and she was like, I'm going to watch Survivor with you for the first time in a little while. And this was all going down, and I was like, you should leave, because this is not, like, this is not an accurate representation of a large passion of my life. Please leave. It was so awful. It was laughable. I was laughing, but I was very upset.
It's laughable, but what's bad is when they're trying to take that seriously. Like, you can't actually write that. You can't write that into the show.
Who typed that up? That was so awful.
It was probably Will. That's something,
come on, Will.
Something Will would probably love. Like, ooh, it's been maturing for 10 years. Like, no, it hasn't. No, it's been sitting somewhere in some warehouse.
We're going to pour it into a glass and you can sniff it before you take it.
Oh my God. And now it's worth more. It's like, what? No.
Now it's worth 17 immunities.
Oh, so bad. So bad. Okay.
Producers, if you're listening, you're very upset with what went down. We needed that. I think that was very nice of you.
It's so dumb. Like, it was just so corny. Don't give me corn like that, okay? I don't need that corn in my life. I don't need any more corn in my life. I got plenty of corn. I don't need that in my life. Oof.
So
yeah,
Kellen,
that was rough. So
that
Kellen
was hard. But I feel clean now.
Yeah, we needed to get that out. That should not have been on the show. That was dirty. That was filthy. That was worse than the clapping. I'm going to be honest. That infuriated me more than that did. And you know what, Donathan, I know you're listening. You should be more mad about them saying it's been maturing than Bradley clapping at you.
This was more personally insulting to every single person's fandom than what Bradley did to you.
Oh my God, so
bad. Take one for the team.
So bad, so bad, so bad. Okay, Okay, I would have cried laughing Kellen. Reading that. But anyway, Kellen. Yeah, we're
oh
back
my God.
To that.
I would, yeah, they would have had to do like an awkward like cut of like me talking. Oh, be so
would have been like,
so Kellen finds.
I would have looked directly at the camera and said, oh, that's where it's been? Oh, like I would have been so sarcastic.
Oh, I'm going to reverse the curse.
Ooh, this is sick.
Spooky like, Island.
Yeah, it's so, oh my God, I would have laughed. I'm sorry. Maybe this is what's going to keep me from ever getting on the show. This one thing, but God, if that's what it is, I still need to get it all out of my system. I would have laughed in the cameraman's face. I would have done it. I'm sorry.
If we don't get on the show because of this, this has been like one of the more entertaining 6 minutes of my life. And I really like us to keep going with it. I think this is some quality content that we're putting out right now.
It is. I mean, honestly, like I'm sure that everybody else who was watching it was saying the same thing. Like, ooh, cheese. This is great. Cheese. Ooh, we need this on Survivor. Survivor has survived on cheese and corn for the last, you know, 35 seasons. So let's make sure we really amp it up in season 36.
Yeah, all you guys were complaining about Ghost Island being a dud. And guess what? They amped up the spice. And now it is way too spicy.
Way too spicy.
We need some milk with that spice. Kellen's advantage.
So she finally goes to Ghost Island. This time she plays it. I mean, she has a 2 in 3 chance. She's got good numbers on her tribe. She would be kind of an idiot to not do this now. I mean, this is the right move here. You're coming into the merge phase of the game. You need to go and try to make this happen. Even if it doesn't end up happening, you need to try to make it happen. So she goes, she plays it. This one's been calling to me. Sure. I mean, I'm sure two of them were calling to you, but you picked the right one. So she picks it. Good thing she's a lefty. Also, kind of weird that she was able to like shake them. Could you hear the paper move? Because she was definitely moving that thing.
She was shaking it?
She grabbed it. I was surprised.
I was surprised she could do that too.
So I thought that when she touched them, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But she was just kind of like grazing them. So I'm like, oh, that's one thing. But if you're like moving them, you can hear something move inside. Mm. That's a piece of paper. Even if it just tips a little bit, you're going to hear like the, and that's it. That's all you need. Anyway, she gets this steal a vote, which was used to vote out Michaela. I don't actually remember if it was necessary in voting out Michaela, but it was still something that Sarah did.
Well,
right.
It also wasn't a curse. Yeah. Cause everything that Sarah has done has like gone well.
Well, I think they were saying it was more of a curse for Michaela that she was so blind raged this, by not being able to play, that she's literally sitting on top of it. I mean, that was probably the best moment of Game Changers in my opinion.
Did she say, what did she say? Something bitches.
They some bitches, I think. I think she says they some bitches.
I don't remember that from Game Changers, but they showed that. I was like, that's awesome.
She did. It's amazing. So she gets it. Now, this one has not matured. This one has done the opposite. It's turned to vinegar here. So she doesn't get to steal a vote. She only gets an extra vote. So she doesn't have, which is better. This is kind of the Survivor producers realizing a steal a vote is dangerous.
I think it has matured into the finest cap salve.
Well, it's definitely the finest from a viewer's perspective and from the most fair gameplay. Stealing a vote is insane because that means you're not only taking away someone else's vote, you're using it for yourself. That's crazy. That's like a 2-vote swing. That's like a 3-vote swing. But by just making it an extra vote, they realize like you can't take away somebody's vote, especially on a season where you're making people risk their vote. Whether we actually see somebody risk their vote and fail, we'll never know. But so she gets this. This is cool. She's going to have this in the merge. Not nearly as powerful as an idol, but still something good to have. Definitely something you want to have on your side. And, you know, with how this game might split up after this, especially with Kellen losing probably her closest ally in the game, mainly because we know about their relationship outside of the game. This is something very good for her to have. Not nearly as exciting though as the other two idols that were found tonight by Wendell and by Michael. So
the
I wanted to save those.
We've been waiting for these guys.
These are the two. Along with the James idol, these two idols are like that's like the three most like iconic things like Survivor. So that was the golden, like not the most watched seasons of Survivor. Those were the best seasons of Survivor with like the best castaways that this was happening to. Like Ozzy literally just carved on a stick for a second and threw it under a rock. And Jason bought into it 100%. And then it set off literally the greatest string of blindside Survivors ever had. And the Eric Reichenbach idol, I mean, first, I don't know where Wendell's hiding that thing. He didn't bring pants big enough. Sorry, buddy. You're just going to have to, like, convince everybody that you have like a disorder like under your shirt. Like, who knows what's going on?
You have a disorder under your shirt.
Like, I don't know. Like, what are you going to do with that? You can't hide that.
Yeah, but then, he stuck that back. I think he like left that back in the ground because you can't stick that in your boxers. Like, that's Green Monster business going on.
Yeah, no, that's more than the Green Monster. That's
is like a three-headed dragon.
Yeah, that's a disorder. Once again, back to a disorder. That's a disorder. So but you have so Wendell finds that, and for me, that would have been the big one for me. I love the James Idol, I love the stick, but to get the Eric Reichenbach thing, I probably would have just like looked at the camera and been like, this still breaks my heart. Because Eric Reichenbach, I'll always defend him, but him and James and Courtney are like my three favorite first time players, like of all time. And Eric Reichenbach gets such a bad rap because he did that. And that guy was such a good player who made a really idiotic move at the age of 21 while he was starving and surrounded by hot women and the smartest female player of all time in Surrey.
In Libby.
Well, yes, sorry. The second smartest female player of all time in Surrey. It's so brutal that that's like what he's remembered for. And then he gets all the way back there, could have easily won Caramone, and instead decides he's going to pass out. God, Eric Reichenbach, I love you, man. And this was brutal. So we get that. I just think that what's funny with this season is you have this stick. That's very easy to hide for Michael. You can, you know, put that anywhere you want. That one's not a disorder if that one's in the boxer. So that's
whatever. Well, he shoved that one straight down his pants.
Yeah, I mean, that's whatever. I mean, hey, we don't know what's going on that island. We're, you know, whatever.
We don't judge.
Hey, what's going on, Michael? Yeah, so as we're getting way off topic here, but this one for Wendell, this is a really hard one to find. Because now that you have this, you can't just like pull that out of your pocket. If you're going to tribal council with that, it has to be in your bag. It's hard to hide in your bag. You can't have like the indecision of like, oh, I'm searching through my bag. Somebody's going to see that.
You're going to whip out your like big poster board and be like, here, Jeff, and like put it on your neck.
Yeah, that's a lot. Very
dramatic, yeah. But it's a bit of a disadvantage because, one, it's way easier for some – well, actually, no, Wendell didn't put it in his bag yet. Like, it's going to be way easier for someone at the merge to just, like, creep through his stuff and find it. Like, I think if the stick, especially if the face of the stick isn't aiming, like, out, then people would be like, oh, Michael's just, like, collecting sticks and being a psycho, you know?
Well, what's interesting with the stick, too, is are people going to think that it's actually being used – successfully, or are they going to be like, oh, that's actually not positive, but can you make it, you know, work in your favor? Can you convince people that it's a real idol? Because are people going to just automatically assume that's a real idol? Or because Ghost Island, I mean, the most mysterious person on this season said it tonight, Ghost Island is still a mystery. Remember, we're seven episodes in. So maybe people are sitting there saying, well, do these relics necessarily still have their power? We haven't seen something that was completely useless actually be used with a purpose in the show ever before. So is this going to have its power, or are people going to think that this is just a stick?
And guess who's going to be able to sell it well? The guy who tried to sell James's idol is having double immunity. I think. Well, who was in that tribal council? Kellen and Dez.
Bradley, gone.
And Kellen, Dez, Sebastian. I mean, Jenna. There's like – and Jenna, those four, and then the main one. Oh, and Chelsea too. They've seen him play this before, so it'll be interesting, like you just said, to use that with an – quote unquote idol that never had power before. It was just the effing stick.
Well, and now I want one other thing I want to bring up with Wendell's is the disadvantage Wendell has by having that idol. He can't bring it anywhere with him. So like, you can't just be sitting down on the beach and be like, look, I have a fake idol, and then slip it back in. You see that all the time where it's like, this is it. This is what it really is. He has a whole necklace. Wendell's
going to be like, come into my bedroom and like, let me show you this whole like scene I made.
Like, he can't just sit there on the beach and like pull it out of his pocket slowly and be like, look, that's a real idol, and then put it back in. Like, that's a really big disadvantage for having an idol. This is definitely the worst one to have, I think, easily.
Yeah, I think, I mean, definitely physically, it's a rough one to have. One, because people can find it. People can easily see it if you don't want them to see it. But when you do want them to see it, it's got to be like this whole sales pitch.
Yeah. And another thing, too, though, that he could probably do is say, look, this is immunity I can give myself at one tribal council before the votes are read. That could be something that he could lie about because it is just a necklace. There's some lies that people can spin in this season that we saw Michael actually already try that I think that he could try again and that Wendell could try with this one. I think there's some things that people could do.
Well, when I first saw that it was a necklace and not an actual idol, I actually thought that it would have different a different kind of power. I didn't think that it would be your standard hidden immunity idol, which maybe I would have liked that they could all have a little different quirks, but I guess it's probably safer just to keep them all the same.
I think though that somebody could just like you said, like think, oh, that's got a different power to it. That's not just a hidden immunity idol. Like he could convince somebody that, oh, this is something that I can play whenever I want. Like this is a super idol. This is something like I can just wear to tribal and I've also won immunity tonight. You can't vote for me. Like that's something that he could probably try to pull off. I don't know though. Like when is Wendell really going to be in danger in this game? It's going to be further down the line. I think that he's got enough targets ahead of him and he's not so aligned with somebody that because they can't get that person, they would go for him. There's a lot of big guys left in the game. There's a lot of sneaky girls left in the game. And there's a lot of just threats to win like a Donathan or I guess you could even say Libby. People are probably thinking Libby's going to win or a Kellen. So I think that there's like a lot of people to go before Wendell. So I think Wendell's in an all right position. It's going to be interesting to see how he tries to play this idol when he finally does.
I think it'll be cool because people usually like make the whole thing going up to Jeff, handing it over to him. But Wendell, like I hope he keeps it on, or if he plays it for someone else, like they don't see it coming. And then he just like drops a necklace on them. I think that'd be really cool. That'd be really fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so here we go. We finally have all the idols. We were saying Ghost Island hasn't been doing much. I mean, two of these were still found not at Ghost Island, and we did see Kellen go back to Ghost Island. So, but we here's all your stuff coming to a head now. We have three idols, a legacy advantage, and a extra vote all in play with 13 people left in the game. So now it's where it's like, oh, God, this might be too much. But I think, like, the producers almost made this happen where it's like, we want five idols. We want five advantages once the merge hits. Hopefully some of these get used.
I'm fine for an explosive merge. I'm fine with that. I'm glad that this didn't happen on episode two, but I'm okay with this happening now. I don't want it to keep happening, but I'm okay with it like ebbing and flowing the way that it has.
Yeah, let it happen early. Just don't get to a situation where no advantage has been used and we get another Saru Fields.
Yeah, I do not want to watch that again.
No. Okay, what else do we have from this episode? Is there anything else or do we cover pretty much everything?
I feel like we covered pretty much. Oh, they burned the Malolo flag. That was a thing.
They burned the Malolo flag. Oh, also, Jeff keeps harping on this Malolo
thing. Yes, that was what I want to say. Finish.
Still drives me nuts. Like, literally, okay, Michael is the only one who's been on Malolo the whole time. So Michael is, like, the biggest loser there. Like, not literally, but literally. He's the biggest loser there. So he's been losing like crazy. Yeah, Kellen and Dez lost, but they've only lost three challenges. Or three immunity challenges, those two. So they've gone to tribal three times out of seven. Okay, that's not even half. Michael, has gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
he's out of seven. All but two, yeah.
All but two now. So even if you were looking at it before the Bradley boot, Kellen and Dez had gone to 3 out of 6. Angela had literally gone to one tribal council. And Jeff is playing this up like this Malolo tribe is the worst tribe of all time. It's like they broke up so many times, and yet look at them. It's Kellen, it's Dez, it's Angela, and it's Michael, and you have them going up against the Greek gods of Laurel and Wendell and Chris, and I can't even remember who else is on that tribe. It's insane.
Sebastian and Jenna.
Are you kidding me?
How did you forget the power couple?
I mean, are you out of your mind? Well, because we didn't see him tonight. But are you out of your mind? Like, of course they're losing. So I'm almost inclined to think that one of those Malolos is actually going to pull this out, and it's not going to be Angela. So, and it's not going to be Dez. So I'm thinking either Kellen or Michael might actually pull this thing out because of just how much it's been played up that Malolo sucks. They suck. And now they got to overcome the Navidi powerhouse, which really isn't a Navidi powerhouse because Donathan got lumped in there. And so did Libby, those lucky guys. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm like that bothered me almost as much as the whole like fine wine maturing thing, just because it's not even the truth. Like Dez said in the confessional, she's like, we've got to be the worst tribe of all time. But you're not. Oolong is the worst tribe of all time. That is a non-negotiable fact. And then you have Matt Singh and what was it? Luzon. Like
Luzon.
Plenty of other terrible tribes that stayed together the entire time. This has just been flipped around a lot. And Michael, who's probably the best challenge competitor throughout Malolo, he's been the common denominator. So it's not even like I don't even know if it's a tribe chemistry thing. Like it's just kind of happened. It's really weird and very forced that they're trying to like make this a thing.
I mean, you know how you you don't lose like three times or twice in a row? You don't vote out Brendan. I mean, also, original Malolo lost the first two. Sure. You swap up the tribes, Malolo wins the first one. Then they lose the next one and vote out Brendan. And then they lose the next one and vote out Stephanie Johnson. By voting out Brendan, you're pretty much saying, like, we don't care about strength. If we lose again, we don't care. So then you vote out Stephanie Johnson. Then you swap up the tribes and you vote out James. Like, this isn't, I don't know. It's just being harped on so much, and it's really weird to
me. And they're voting, and they voted out, like you just said, three, like, pretty good challenge competitors.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm looking at the live chat. I totally even forget that Ravu exists sometimes.
Oh yeah, because, they were like, bad too.
You know, because they're a really terrible tribe. But they also had the winner of the season on it, didn't they? Didn't Earl start on that season?
Yeah, or on the tribe? He was on the tribe the whole time.
He was on that tribe the entire.
There was a swap, and he was on it both times. Yeah,
was he? Okay. Either way, you have Earl, who is on that tribe and ends up winning. Yao Man's on that tribe and ends up getting fourth. Like. Yeah, they were bad, but like they also had the first and fourth place person. Oolong didn't have anybody except for Stephanie make the merge. That's the worst tribe of all time. Like there's just no question about that.
It's because Survivor doesn't want us to remember that Guatemala existed.
Well,
I mean, I know that's not like formally, but
yeah,
they just don't want any.
Like Stephanie LaGrossa has been forgotten to time. I mean, you think about that. You have Palau. And then four seasons later, you have this dreadful Ravu tribe. And yeah, both of them are worse than this tribe. Mad Singh is way worse than this tribe. So I don't get why it was so harped on.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably like you said, probably because they're trying to make this underdog story. But Michael already has this underdog story. Like I would have thought that he's an underdog if you weren't screaming to me about how bad they are, you know?
Yeah. Also, it's funny. I'm actually looking at this right now because now I'm sidetracked. The best part about this post-tribe swap for this Ravu tribe, original tribe, Earl didn't stay on that tribe, but the four horsemen all ended up on that tribe with Dreams and Lisi and Anthony. So did they lose the next challenge and Anthony went home or whatever it ended up being? Because I know Anthony did not make an emerge, but the rest of them all ended up making the jury. So like, you can't really say that that's like the worst tribe ever from the standpoint of where Jeff is pointing at this tribe, where it's like, this is the worst ever. And it's like, not really.
I just think as soon as you swap, it doesn't really have the same identity anymore.
Yeah. No, I agree. I totally agree. Yeah.
So like Mat Singh, Oolong, Luzon, like at least those were throughout.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. All right. We're moving on. We talked about Survivor Fiji for way too long now.
Yeah. Do you want to do some comments?
Yeah, let's do a few. Let's jump over to Twitter and do a few. We should probably do MVP or LVP.
Oh,
I can't.
True.
I don't think I can pull this thing up because it makes my thing freeze every time. Okay.
Here.
Maybe my computer freezes right now. We'll drive.
If you want to talk for like a second, I can pull it up.
Hang on, I'm pulling it up. Did I cut out yet?
Nope, you're alive.
You cut out on my end when I do it. So
okay.
I guess I just can't.
I got it up. Would you like me to remind you of your team?
No, I'm about to pull it up. I got it. Hang on. Also, power rankings, we all had Bradley in spot 11, so that did nothing.
Oh, yeah, we all had him. That's so funny.
Thank you, though, Bradley, for going home, because Vaughn gets to take a hit, which is always a good thing for us.
Always good. Yeah, but Vaughn is still in first place. In the fantasy, right now our fantasy standings, Vaughn has 108 points, Phil has 101, I have 88. Joe Mana has 70, and his dream team is making the merge.
Mm-hmm.
Chris
the
and
two
Angela.
Leftovers both made the merge, and I lost three people. Lexa lost two, and Vaughn lost two. That's crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to ask Joe what he has to say about that. I know he's been chomping at the bit to talk to us slash brag to us about how amazing his dream tribe is. So we'll have to talk to him.
Yeah, we'll have to at some point and get Joe just telling us how wrong we are.
Yeah, which always is a good time. So I'm going to give it to my team. I think there's a lot of people who could win MVP tonight. I'm going to give it to Wendell. He had a great episode. He had an emotional episode. His tribe was singing happy birthday to his girlfriend. That was really cute. That was nice. Got all emotional, but then he turned it into a strategic move, went, found an idol, crushed it, making good relationships. Wendell is killing it. I'm going to give it to Wendell.
I go Libby. Libby clearly made a good enough relationship with Chelsea to not end up going home after Dominic was saying the entire time that he couldn't trust her. She had to be the next one to go. She's Parvati 2.0. Will you just let Parvati 2.0 hit the merge because of something she did? I mean, I know Bradley was definitely an instigator and everything, but Libby had to make sure she stepped back and didn't get that stereotypical, like, oh, she could be dangerous at some point, so let's get rid of her. She clearly made amends enough with Dominic, even after betraying him once, to continue on in the game. And now she's hit the merge. And, you know, somebody like Libby, nobody's sitting prettier than her right now. So, I mean, even though she doesn't have idols, she's in a position where it's like, she's not the most threatening. She's not the biggest challenge threat. And yeah, so what if she goes and wins a couple, just get rid of her before the final tribal. And I think that bodes really well for her game moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And for Vaughn's, oh, well, for Vaughn's tribe, I was going to say it should be Michael. I mean,
yeah,
obviously.
Let's bring Michael up. He didn't go home and also found an idol.
Exactly. And then in terms of LVP, gosh, I will.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable giving it to Dominic because I actually don't think that Dominic made like a god awful move. I'm going to just like, I'm just going to throw it at Des. I'm realizing she's on your team, Phil. But I don't know. She said
that's a great episode.
She had an incorrect fact when she was talking about being the losingest tribe ever. I don't know. I don't really have anyone. I don't want to give it to Dominic because I really don't think it was a terrible move. So I don't really know.
It's going to end up being
I can't give it to Kellen. Well, I'm not going to pitch Dominic.
I think it's going to end up being Dominic, though. I'm just saying.
No, I know that, but I'm not going to pitch Dominic.
Well, it can't be Desiree, though, because Desiree, yeah, she got them the – it was her idea to burn the flag, and they all did it. That shows, like, hey, this girl's thinking ahead, and they didn't lose. She should really be MVP. By burning that flag, they won, and they're the reason Bradley went home. Malolo is why Bradley went home. See, Malolo got him back in the end anyway.
And now Bradley's going to be stuck on a plane with them.
I know, forever. That flight to wherever they went on the pre-merge trip must have been a load of
awkward.
All right,
let's float over to some comments.
All right, I'm going to start with this gamer girl one and say, do you think Bradley should have gotten a hashtag blindside? I absolutely do. I'm really surprised.
Yeah,
we didn't get
that one. Was really surprising. Really, especially because they made him out to be this, like, if they were, like, playing out this whole villain thing, and we just got the most, like, doink ending.
Yeah, seriously. It needed a hashtag blindside. I totally deserved it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Andy Vogel. I always like his comments. I'm starting to think we're going to have a Libby, Chelsea, Angela final three in which each has to quote unquote reverse the curse of the purple edit. Can you justify the heartlessness of removing every single character that I really like in rapid succession? No, didn't think so. Libby, Chelsea, Angela final three is not the most unreasonable thing to expect at this point.
Seriously, we've lost like really huge edits. All we did not lose one weak edit in the entire pre-merge. There were seven people who went home, and all of them were very fairly edited, if not over-edited, for their positioning in this game. I mean, I know the seven of them better than I probably know seven out of the 13 people left in the game.
Yeah, we're not. So, it's really weird.
It is, but they were great characters, and I think that the producers knew that and the editors knew that. So
yeah, we got time. We got time to develop everyone else.
Yeah. Gamer girl, do you think Oolong, Matt Singh, and Luzon would have started winning had they burned their flags, or was that not allowed back then? I think even Jeff was like, wait, you burned your flag? And they were like, no, it was the banner. Like, I think if they would have burned the flag, I think they would have gone to survivor jail.
They would have gotten in a little bit of trouble for that. Because they have to, like, they have to walk into the challenges of the flag. But I don't think it's that flag. I think it's a different one.
Yeah, I think so, too. But
that still would be – that's one way to take a stand against Jeff.
There you go.
Why didn't they make it so you could send one person from both the losing tribe and the runner-up tribe to Ghost Island? That would have been a cool little twist, because then you have two people hanging out on Ghost Island, but then I don't really know what they would have done for the for like that game that it plays.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see how they would have done that, but still, like, the one season where we got to see the Ghost Island or the Exile Island where two people went was Token Chains. And I don't know. I don't remember it happened other than that. I'm sure it did. But Token Chains was the big one. And it actually got the cross tribal alliance kind of brewing. And that's why Taj was able to really blind Brendan. Mm-hmm. So I would be interested to see how it would happen. But you're right with the game, like who goes first, who goes second. Do they almost do it like the pizza eating or the spaghetti eating thing from last season?
Also, why did they, oh, love the spaghetti scene. Why did they, why was Dom, Donathan and Libby, why were they okay with sending Kellen? Why wouldn't they have wanted to send one of their own?
Well, I think they were okay with it because Kellen had already gone. And I think it's a safe way to kind of just be like, you know what? That's a good point. Let's do that. Instead of, I don't think you want to have them draw rocks because then you're kind of saying to the team that got second place, like, we don't care if you eat. And that could really rub people the wrong way when food is like mm-hmm. the main thing you want out there.
And so I think that live food too.
Yeah, that could have really rubbed them the wrong way. So I mm-hmm. think that by all deciding on Kellen, it really was the most fair thing. She's already been, she knows what to expect. If she's going to learn anything, they don't care. It's still kind of up in the air, and they get to make sure that everybody on the tribe that kind of won gets to eat. So I think it's the smartest thing that could have done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have JP. Do you guys believe Wendell will tell Dom about his idol? I don't think so. At least not right away. I mean, he might, if it is worth it, but right now I'm not getting the point where it's like, oh, he's going to show it to him like right away. I think Wendell's pretty smart and got, you know, knows when to make these types of moves.
Yeah. And Dom might just like walk by him and see it. But JP, what's the next advantage that's going to be in the game? What's the other one? The other big ones that were sold were JT's Game Changers idol.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, what was that? Dan's extra vote or Dan's seal vote?
Dan had the extra vote, yeah.
So we got maybe another extra vote. And then I feel like there was one other big one. Oh, the super idol. Ty and Jason one, too. So probably one of those guys.
Yeah, and I'm sure like one of those will just be found at the beach, so whatever. Mm-hmm. Ryan, who y'all's top three favorites? Mine's Libby by far, then Michael, then Kellen. Who's your top three left in the game right now, Alexa? Choose wisely.
Oh yeah, I know. Everyone equally because I love everybody who listens. Wow,
so political.
I think I've made it pretty clear that I'm like heavily biased towards Wendell. I really like Wendell. I'm liking Dominic. I'm like really enjoying watching him. I love his accent. I like how he's playing. He's playing hard, but he also has like kind of a laugh at himself kind of attitude, which I enjoy. And I don't know. I like Kellen too. I'm liking Kellen. A lot of people, suddenly the internet has decided that they hate Kellen.
So funny.
I like don't know how it happened or where it came from, but I think Kellen's hilarious. Like when she like stuffed her advantage in her bathing suit and then just like had this like big like little girl grin on her face. It was the funniest, like cutest little thing. Everyone, just relax. Kellen is great. She's not like hucking it up for the cameras. I think she's just a very energetic person and it's adorable.
Okay, Chris is telling a joke, a knock-knock joke. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Chris is actually telling a knock-knock joke in our
– But I have life. To say, the Kellen's, like, reactions to it has been pretty funny. Like Kellen's
Are hilarious.
It's really funny. Her reaction, though, I'm talking about to, like, the internet, like, not really loving her is really funny.
Oh, yeah. That's – yeah. Really funny. That was funny.
Oh, my God.
That would be me. That would so be me.
I'm going to say my top three right now, and I'm looking at this list, and there's really nobody here that I dislike. And that's kind of like what always a problem is like when there's like nobody to like love to hate, that's kind of frustrating. And I don't really like dislike anybody. I mean, even like Chris and Dominic, like I don't care who wins that feud. I'm enjoying watching it, but I'm going to say my three are probably Michael, Wendell. And then it's a toss up between Donathan and Kellen. But Michael and Wendell are definitely my top two. I mean, really though, like you could go down for like, probably like my top six and everybody who I don't have in that top six is just because they're like under edited. Like I'm loving watching Seb, but like I can't put him in my top three. Like
mm-hmm.
I liked Libby the two times we've heard from her all season, but like I can't put her in my top three. Desiree, like we're starting to get more from Desiree. I'm kind of liking that. Laurel, I really like. We just haven't seen nearly enough of her. Oh God, did I miss it?
It's so bad. No, oh it's knock God. Knock.
That's not bad at all. That's hilarious.
Say who's there. Say who's there.
Who's there?
Yanuya. Oh my God, Yanuya, this is so bad. I can't even say this.
I see it.
This is horrifying.
Yanuya. Yanuya boy's going to make the merge. Boom. Mic drop.
Boom. Mic drop. Wow, I am amazing. Absolutely disgusted with the fact that we just did that.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
What a time to be alive.
Oh my God.
Jimmy, whoa, Connor. While I really like the season so far, I'm concerned with all the big characters we're losing. I lose easily one of the most fun players this season. This was like very good, like I don't know if I'm using this phrase correctly. This is a very good like litmus test for how to play with editing. Cause everyone's like, oh my gosh, we lost 7 people in the pre-merge. We didn't even get to know them. Katrina was robbed, bring her back. And now we are given strong edits to our pre-merge and everyone is very up in arms about it. So it raises the question, what do we want from production? We cannot ask both. We cannot ask for both.
I think what it just really comes down to is I wish that early on in that first episode, we would have seen more of these post-merge people. Like, because we didn't see anything from Bradley, but we saw so much Jacob. We saw a good amount of Morgan, a lot of Stephanie Johnson, a lot of Brandon, a lot of James. But we didn't see anything from Des. We didn't see anything from Angela. We didn't see anything from Chelsea. All three of them have now made the merge. Give me something. It doesn't have to be these huge edits. I'm totally fine with the 7 going home, who went home. If the 13 who are left, I know at least 10 of them as well, if not better than the 7 who went home. And there's always going to be an outlier. Like Stephanie Johnson was always going to be a huge character on the show, no matter what. Jacob was always going to be a huge character on the show, no matter what. But when you're looking at this point, it's like tonight was the third time we've heard from Chelsea. This was the second episode where we actually got confessionals from Libby. That's a big stretch in my mind. Like we're 7 episodes in. Give me a little bit more from each of them. Mm-hmm. If they're going to hit the merge, you don't need to make them into these huge fan favorites. I like what they're doing with Des now. She's had a slow burn, but make that slow burn start with one confessional here, one confessional there, not just nothing, 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 boom, nothing, nothing, boom, boom, boom. Like now we're getting a lot of Des and I like it, but too early on, we just didn't get enough. So I think that's the biggest complaint right now.
Yeah, she's like funny. And I didn't know that she was funny until like this week.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Mm-hmm. You really don't get it. So, all right. So we have JP, the Dom versus Chris war. Do you believe they both save the next tribal? Dom with advantage, Chris wins immunity. That would be really funny if Chris won immunity. That would be hilarious. That would be
awesome. Well, that's the thing. Like they, whenever these big things happens, it's usually not the two like quote unquote kingpins that go home.
Yeah.
They're kind of just like the leaders, but I don't know.
Who's the safest boot next week? That's sometimes what it comes down to.
Yeah, exactly. And then Chelsea goes home and we never even met her.
Exactly.
Nicholas
Boer.
Nicholas Boer. Hey, 3 things. 1, can we all agree the original Eliza scene is so hilarious about the fake immunity idol quote, it's an effing stick. It is great. 2, when Angela tonight called Michael. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. When she called Michael James.
That was hilarious.
Was awesome.
That wasn't Angela, though. That was Kellen, wasn't it?
No, Angela, because he kind of like snipped back at her.
It's Michael. That was so funny. That was great. Oh my God, I remember that. That was hilarious.
Awkward. And then James tweeted something kind of funny afterwards. He was like, no, that's me. The one you voted out. I'm sitting at home.
Yeah, that's really funny. what was 3 here? Who has advantages? Hidden Idol seems like a lot. Yeah, there are a lot now. Now
all
it
of a sudden, yeah. Yep. Kellen's got an extra vote. Michael has an immunity idol. Wendell has an immunity idol. Dom has an immunity idol. What am I missing?
Dom's legacy advantage.
Oh, and Dom also has legacy advantage. That's it.
Nicholas Boer, this merge, I see a lot of muscles, guys. Sebastian, Michael, Chris, sort of Dominic, and I see a lot of Superman archetypes, Kellen, Donathan, Laurel. Based on the tightness of Navidi, do you see them picking off Malolo? I don't now. It's 8-5. Chris and Dominic are never going to work together. Which automatically makes it at least 7-6 in the worst case scenario. I don't see this just being Navidi versus Malolo anymore. I think Bradley needed to stay today in order for it to be Navidi versus Malolo.
Yeah, I think he was the one kind of spearheading that operation.
Yep. So if Malolo wins, it's actually Dom and Chelsea's fault for voting off Bradley.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Ice X, I don't know if it's been mentioned, but Probes told EW that Ghost Sound is running till the end. Wow, I wondered, like, Final 4 end? Wow.
Yeah. Probably Final 5, I would think. But Gamer Baby, do you think that Wendell at this point is the best path to victory basing it off everyone's edits? I mean, that's what I thought of so many people so far, but Wendell was big tonight. They showed a scene of him singing happy birthday to his girlfriend. You don't normally get that type of stuff.
Yeah. That was that's definitely a big moment. That was pretty big.
Yeah.
And then last one, Cloudstrife. I'm very satisfied with the season after this episode. And today was the first time we saw why Chelsea's been around in season. She made her first move, I guess. Chelsea's been around. Like we saw, I think it might have been the Stephanie Booth, like Chelsea was like running back and forth, but this, we actually got to see like a little bit of her thought process.
Yeah. For sure. You know. I think Chelsea was pretty good tonight. So
yeah,
I don't know. Still whispering though. In that.
I got to rewatch that. I missed her and Libby whispering.
Her and Libby back to back. We're sitting in like the same spot. Why are we sitting? It was like so weird. It was like, maybe they just have softer voices, but they seriously sounded like they were like whispering. I wasn't sure it was a confessional.
To be fair, compared to Dominic, Donathan, and Bradley, they probably do talk pretty quietly.
It's true. It's very true.
But yeah, all right, we'll find out.
I'm going to fall asleep.
Cool. I am already asleep. We'll be back with our episode 8 predictions and power rankings this Sunday at 8 p.m. We already have our guest confirmed, as alluded to earlier tonight. So you better rewatch and re-listen to figure out who it was. In the meantime, vote for your MVP and your LVP. You can comment on this video with who you have to vote. Comment on our Facebook page. Comment or tweet at us on Twitter. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Hit subscribe on YouTube. We're almost at 3,300. So keep climbing up. Tell your friends. Listen to us on iTunes. And tune in this Sunday at 8 p.m. for our episode 8 predictions and power rankings. You usually say bye.
I forgot. I was sidetracked.
Bye, everyone. Did Chris tell another joke? Okay, bye.
Bye.